Okay, on page 276 of Ms. Malamed Bays.
276.
Recording in progress.
Good morning, Abelazer. Good morning, Abelazer. Shalom Aleichem. Page 276. Ms. Malamed Bays, Pasuk Vav. Pasuk Vav, we did this yesterday. We spent the whole day on this yesterday. Azaz Yisfalu Kochasim Elecha Le'es Mitzoy. So that Rak L'Shetef Mayim Rabin Elov Lo Yagiyu. We learned two very different perushim to explain this pasuk, Rashi and the Mitzudei Stavim. Rashi says this refers to Klal Yisrael, and Klal Yisrael, when they find themselves in an Esim, it's a very unusual translation of the word Esim Mitzoy, a Zman, when they find that their Tfilois behimotz acha lekabel tefilosoi, which gives you the impression that there are times when Hashem does not listen. Hashem does not listen to the prayer. How could that possibly be? How could it possibly be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not a Zman when Hashem is going to accept lekabel tefilosai? Hey, it's a tough question. All the answers you're going to give is not going to really satisfy, really answer the question. The question is better than any answer you're going to give. But what it has to mean is that there are different levels of acceptance. There are different degrees. There are different times of the year. There are different locations of where a person davens, and each location, each time of the year has a dimension which allows the tefillah to be more receptive. Okay, it's not the same when you daven the ilah. Davening the ilah is not the same when you daven mincha in the middle of the summer or in the middle of the winter. On your way back, when you stop off at a rest stop on the highway, and you're davening b'yachidus because it's getting to the shkia, it's not the same. It's not the same thing. It's not the same because you're not. Ni'ilah is ni'ilah. It's a certain zaman. Okay, and likewise, a certain mokka. It's not the same when you're davening on the New York City subway versus davening at the Kosel Hamaravi. There's a certain dimension that it cannot be defined in science for sure, and cannot even be defined in words. Everyone understands this, that there's in tefillah, it's more than just the words. It's your frame of mind, it's the time of the year, it is the location, it's your environment, it's your setting. So it says over here in Rashi over here says, le'es mitzoy, that word mitzoy means that all of the conditions come together. When you find yourself in a situation where the conditions of mokka and zman and who you're davening with, it's different. You know, someone told me in a certain place I daven once in a while, and it's very nice. There's a lot of people, and it's the result of a long history. And the people that are davening there, you look around, and even though I've been there a long time, but I don't recognize anyone. I barely know anyone. Because people just come back again and again from a past experience. And really feel me davening. I feel like davening, it's like you may have a lot of people in the room, but everyone is davening for themselves. Everyone is just each man for himself. And then there's another minyan. It's much, much smaller. But everyone there knows each other very, very well. It's a very nice group of people who are all in it together. And they daven as a tzibur. They daven together for each other. And it's a much smaller group. And then there's the other group, which is like Grand Central Station. And each man is just, you know, each man to himself. So I find the
parts of davening are intended to be
private
for oneself, and other parts are intended to be.
That's true, but there's still something called that you need a 10 people. You need a minion.
Okay.
You daven as it's generally
but
speaking.
Differentiate, you know,
of course, of course, but it's still different. When you have a group of people, you have a minion, 10 people, and everyone davens as a group, and everyone needs individual things. And each person, to a degree, is praying for that the other person should get what they need as well. It's a whole different experience. If you have 10 people, don't know from each other, and they don't care for each other, chas v'shalom, and oh, we have a minyan, 10 people. 10 people here are in the minyan, And I don't want to know from you, you don't want to know from me. It's a necessary evil that we need there to be 10 people in the room in order that we can say Kaddish and Kedusha. And Shnona Esrech Hazar Sashatz. That's pretty pathetic. That's pretty pathetic. That's not called an Eis Mitzoy. You have the ingredients, you have the 10 people, but if the 10 people in the room don't hold from each other and don't go from each other, don't warn of each other, is that what Chazal had in mind? Is that what it means that you need that you need 10 people in order to bring the Shekhinah down? You need 10 people? It's not Mistaka. And technically speaking, yeah, you got all the conditions, so you can do whatever you want. You'll say, but deep down inside, everyone is, okay, yeah, of course. But obviously, you understand, everyone understands that when you have a community, when you have a chevra where people know from each other, they're comfortable with each other, and they care about each other, and they dive in as a group, as a shared group to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for each other, and of course, Rav Chol, you're correct, everyone has a unique individual needs that others do not have, but everyone wants everyone to have what they need. It is an entirely different experience. And
it makes good logic what you're saying, Rabbi. But how do we know this concretely that it makes such a big difference?
You don't know. It's a mazel. It's mazel. It's siyata d'shmaya. The person could live a whole life, could be in a community where basically no one cares for each other. Everyone just comes to shul because that's what you do. In Orthodox Jews, so you come to shul, you're trained to do. You sit in a little corner. You come and you look, and you have no clue who's sitting next to you, who's sitting on the other table, who's there, and you don't want to know. You don't want to know, and they don't want to know from you, and this is just something that you do to get through the day. And people can go for years like this. And then you have another type of situation where people really care about each other. You have a group of people, I have a community, and you have shared interests. Where there are places, every shul, look at the flappers. How does every shul start at? Every single shul in this community, B'liyotzim and Akal, starts out as a clique, as a group. You have a group of people, they have a shared interest. They're all basically the same age, they're the same background, their kids go to the same schools, and they decide, instead of going and davening in these shuls where no one pays attention to us, let's make our own minyan. It's like a social experience. It's like you have a WhatsApp group. Who's on the WhatsApp group? The people that have a shared interest. So you make a shul, and then what happens? The shul, let's say it's 30, 40 families, and that's it. It doesn't get bigger than that. Anyone who joins, like, it doesn't happen that the new people join. Anyone who joins, you're lucky, it's because they have convenience, because you're in the neighborhood, and you need this, they overlap. But you always see these shuls, it's a chevra. And then when time goes on, if the neighborhood is fortunate to grow, and there are a new group of people, they don't join your shul, they make their own shul. They make their own chabur. And the other shuls just wither away. The people, they move away, they get older, this, that. Okay, so they get from a neighbor to person here, person there, keep the minyan going. You don't find any shul that is established in these communities that 10 years later is larger, has more members than they had originally. You start off, there's a certain momentum, you reach it, and that's it. Because that's really what it is. It's a group of people who share something in life, and they daven together as a tzibur, and it's beautiful. When there are new people who move into the community, more often than not, I don't share your perspective on life. A different age, different hashkafa, I have different values, different friends. So we make our own shul. And to a degree that's a very good thing, because at least the shul, the chevra that's davening, they're davening as a tzibur. I know it's a bit b'rov am hadras melech. Okay, by the Hasidim, they have these shuls that literally 5,000 people. 5,000 people who goes in every shul, they have mikra. Okay, there are different conditions. But there's something called, when you dive into Hashem, al zos yispalo kol chasid elecha le'eis mitzoy. Rashi says something extremely profound. He says, it's not always the same when you dive. There's a time of the year where tefillahs are more, certain types of tefillahs are more accepted. There are places, davening by the Kosel is one type of prayer. Davening at Ma'ar Samach Pela is another type of prayer. Davening at Kivorin of one's own relatives here in Brooklyn on the Jackie Robinson is another type of expression of tefillah. And who are you davening with? Who are the members of your kehillah that you associate with and want to daven with? It's a different experience, and every type of need a person has needs a different environment, a different makom, a different zman. The tefillahs that the chasim kala on the spalo on the day of the chuppah are not the type of tefillahs, and it's not the type of tefillahs that a person davens. You know, when you go out for mincha, you know, you're on a business deal, you're traveling somewhere. It's a different. There's something in tefillah called le'es mitzray. There's a time of finding. Every tefillah needs a shidduch. A tefillah, for a tefillah to be niskabel, a need. A person has a need. What do you need? You need refuah. You need a zivug. You need parnasa. You need to pull yourself out of depression. What do you need? What do you need? The need you have needs a shidduch. Not, you just can't wake up and say, okay, I need this Hashem. You need to be in the right place, the right makom, the right zman. There's something in tefillah called, a dimension called le'es mitzoy. And that's what Rashi says. And in this particular context, what is Rashi, when you're dealing with David, in the context of being in trouble, pray not to fall into the hands of the Goyim. This is parasha. We have a lot about this. Where Klal Yisrael wanted to go through the land of Edom. They were traveling in the desert, and the time came to go through the land of Edom. And it's very fascinating what the Rashi and this is parasha. Where Klal Yisrael says to Edom, you know, we're brothers. We come from the same father, from Avraham Avinu, and there was a gezerah. And you, my brother Esav / Edom, did not pay the debt. You decided you don't want any part of this. You don't want to be part of Va'avodum, the no pain, no gain. We're now getting Eretz Yisrael because we paid the debt. We suffered all these years, Va'avodum, the Inui Oisam. You wash your hands and you ran away. You didn't want to do it. You didn't want the va'avod and the inu yosam. So therefore, you have no chelik in Eretz Yisrael. The very least you can do is let us pass through your land. We did you a favor. We paid off your debt. The debt of va'avod and the inu yosam goes on everyone, on Esav also, and we paid off the debt. And Esav says, I don't care. Chutzpah, I don't care. Don't you dare pass through our land. Couldn't care less. Stay far away. Now, how was that related to this? I forgot what I was saying. I'm losing my mind here. I forgot how that was related to the way I wanted to say. I totally forgot. Over here in this pasuk says, don't, no, then I remember. Rock, now I got it. Rock, l'shetef, mayim rabim, elov lo yagiyu. Esav, they're really wicked. Even though Klal Yisrael presented them with a solid argument, and they're not even asking for anything, just let us go through your land. And you owe it to us, because we paid off your debt. They have the chutzpah to say, Pen b'cherev etzei elech, I'll kill you. Don't you dare trespass on our territory. Lik rasecha, I'll wipe you out in 1 second. Don't you dare. What a chutzpah. That's a great revelation of what it means here. L'sheitef mayim rabim. That the goyim are, they're wicked. They you can't negotiate with them. There's no one that negotiated. There's no one that was a greater negotiator than Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu presented the most cogent and convincing arguments to Edom. And yet, Edom, with the sanctity of Moshe and the solid, rock-solid arguments of Moshe Rabbeinu, their response was, I couldn't care less, and you trespass on our territory, you're all dead. Pen b'cherev etzei elecha. And David HaMelech here says, you better pray, good and hard, that you should be spared from getting in their way. because the goyim couldn't. There's nothing you cannot argue with them. You cannot present logic with them. When they want something, they'll come after you with a ritzicha, with a force that is not stoppable. Is l'shetef mayim rabim. That's their danger, and you must always pray to avoid this evil, which is something which you can't protect yourself. There's nothing you can do to protect yourself from this evil. I read recently, I didn't get a chance to read the whole, but it's just the headlines. I'm only a headline person. I don't have the brains and patience to read anything in depth. But Eichmann, Yimach Shemo V'Zichro, so they release now for the first time information or videos or interviews, I'm not exactly sure, they were never released before when the Israelis captured him and they brought him to Eretz Yisrael for a trial. They were very lengthy interrogations, and a lot of the things that he said during these interrogations and conversations were not part of admitted in the trial. When they put him on trial publicly and everyone came forward to testify and he defended himself, whatever, and you know, whatever, I didn't even know the details. So there was an enormous amount of information that he said, things that he said in the interrogation that no one even knew about. And some of the things they report in the headlines, just look it up online, is that he said, like, it says there in the headlines that he totally confessed to doing it. In the trial, he didn't. In the trial, he never really confessed that he did anything. It was the testimony that he was very minor, his degree of admission. But privately, in the interrogations, he confessed everything, 100%. And he spoke about it with the Jews, with the greatest disgust. And he actually said that he said the number 10.3 million. He says that if we would have achieved wiping out 10.3 million Jews, that would have been a total success. Something along those, read the article yourself, you see what it says, it's all over the news now. 10.3 million Jews. And everyone today is asking, what did he mean? Who cares what he meant? It's not a normal person. Russia, Marusha, Shugna, by the number 10.3. What's this 0.3? What's this 10? What is he referring to? And there's a lot of speculation. No one even heard this until recently. Until recently, this was not released to the public. And whoever knew about these conversations, they just kept it private. What do you mean by 10.3? So some people actually speculated. I heard this already when I was in elementary school, is that the number 6 million is not the real number. They say it was a lot more than 6 million.
They say now 6.97. That's what
they say for 7 for sure.
Because there were a lot of towns that they didn't have in the picture.
They keep on discovering over and over these little shtetlach they don't even know about. And that they say for sure. It's more like that already historians agree on. There's more like 7 million. But what's this 10.3? How many Jews were there to begin with at that time? 15 million Jews?
18. Supposedly 18 million.
So some speculate, this is really spooky, is that he's basically, because I don't know, this is all we know, this is like conspiracy theory type of stuff, so you really shouldn't be saying this type of crazy things, because I don't know what I'm talking about, but this is all in the article, that some speculate that he knew that they actually did murder 10.3 million Jews.
What?
That they actually did murder 10.3 million Jews. But, he had access to all the records. He was, part of the team. He knew exactly what's going on. So it's very bizarre for him to say the number 0.3. What's this 0.3?
300,000 people?
I mean, what does that mean? So you're talking about 6 million. Who's counting? You're counting up. What are you saying 10.3? The Germans were notorious for their precision, their records of every single person that they killed. They knew exactly what, every single number. Very spooky stuff, but you learn part of the article.
It's like they had a census account. He had a count that there were that many Jews in the world.
Yeah, who knows? No one knows what this
means. That was his goal.
Unbelievable.
If he would have gotten that, he'd be happy.
And okay, but you learn, you read that article, you walk away with such disgust. that these vermin, these Nazis, these Rishayim, there's no one to talk to. The Rishis is so deep, it's so hard. Just stay, get out of their way. L'zos yispalul chosin elecha le'es mitzol. What? You have to read it backwards. Lo yagiyu. It should not come upon you. The sheitef mayim rabim. You can't stop it. The mayim rabim, the rishus, it's going for. Don't think you can negotiate with them. You can transform them. And you can make them love Jews. You cannot make an enemy into a friend. It's naive. Naivete to think you can change a verse. I once had this friend, I told you, it really bothered me. He was going through a certain problem. He's like, I'm going to take care of this. I'm going to invite him over for Shabbos. And I'm going to, at the Suda, I'm going to explain to him, what the problem is and how he should go about, you know, changing his hashkafa so he won't have this problem anymore. And I'm looking at this guy, you're out of your mind. You're so naive to think that you're going to sit down with this guy for an hour and you're going to change the whole world in 1 hour? I was just like shocked. How naive are you? You want one little conversation is going to change everything. It's going to change nothing.
Rabbi, is there something missing in Rashi? It seems a major discontinuity. I mean, he's talking about, you know, when is the ace would say the himotzah kol l'kabel tefillah, that when Hashem will accept our tefillah, right? So when is that? And then all of a sudden he starts talking about, you know, when not to fall in the hands of the enemy or something.
So that's what I try to explain. That's what we try to explain, is that the time when Hashem accepts your tefillah, it's not every moment. A person. So he's telling us, there is a danger in this world. There is a great danger. The greatest danger in this world is us in Golas. When we are in Golas, we are subject to the hospitality and the goodwill of the Umay Soilam. And the Umay Soilam, as long as they're happy with themselves, they don't bother us. The moment the Umay Soilam are frustrated for their own reasons, then they will take it out on us.
Yeah, but Hashem will listen to our tefillah, maybe.
Not always.
By humming, for example, they will espalel, you know, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to protect them from humming. The humming, and then they will all have to submit all around.
They were zoicha to an ace mitzvah.
Understand that when is a good time to daven to Hashem? I mean, I'd rather when the enemies are mad at you or angry, the shetef, that's the time to daven. Maybe
but
Hashem will listen to us more, maybe.
But unfortunately, it didn't work out for everyone. What happened during the Crusades, the first Crusades? Well, do you not think they got together and they davened?
But does it mean it's not a good time?
So,
Rashi. Maybe it is a good time. I mean,
it's always a good time to daven. It's always
the answer is no.
It's always
sometimes
a good.
The answer is no, but we should.
But Rashi, you're saying at a time, that you find it to be lekabel tefilosai. You're right. Not every time you can. Every time is a good time to daven, but not every time is Hashem in the frame of, using our vocabulary, the frame of mind to listen and to accept. He listens, but he's not. It's not always an ace misugo that Hashem is willing to accept the prayers. It's always a good time to daven. And every person gets a sense, every once in a while, now is a good time to daven. Now is his mind when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is listening. We mentioned this yesterday. There's an Amor in the Gemara that says, people come to him and we ask him, can you please daven for this choyle? And he daven for Reuven, for Shimon, for Levi, Yehuda, who they daven. And this one's going to live. This one's not going to live. This one's going to live. This one's not going to live. And whatever he said happened.
Yeah, but
they asked him why?
Time.
Why?
By humming the best, now's the time to face.
Well, they were
mean,
fortunate.
The enemy is
It's always a good time, but they were fortunate that Hashem was listening.
And Hashem did listen to them.
Oh, that's what it means.
So the Yibot, so the
but obviously,
has nothing to do with the fact that there are guys out there touching their teeth on us.
I don't know. Your question is absolutely valid. And any answer I'm going to give you is better than your question. But there is a Zman, we all have a sense that now is a good time to daven. And if it's a good time to daven, take advantage. If you get a sense, it's always a good time to daven. But if you get a sense, I really have a sensation that now is a good time. Take advantage. When you come across and you find yourself in a situation where it's a good time, don't let that time slip away. And what should you daven when you find a good opportunity to daven? That Hashem should spare you, should protect you from the rishus, the wickedness of the goyim. Don't think you're gonna be able to negotiate with them. There's no negotiations. They're gonna do whatever they wanna go do. Ask Hashem to protect you, to avoid the confrontation. And if you discover that it's a good time, you discover, like let's say you travel and they say, there's a very great, why don't you go get a bracha? There's a very holy person here. Get a bracha, because tomorrow he's not going to be here. And you have an opportunity. You're going to Eretz Yisrael. Here, we're passing by the Kosel HaMaravi. You want to go daven? Tomorrow you're not going to be by the Kosel HaMaravi. Take advantage. A person has it's now Ne'ilah. It's Ne'ilah. Daven! If not now, then when? When the person gets a sensation that it's a good place. Like I told you, I forgot to tell you the end of the thing yesterday. Yesterday we went to the cemetery and Mayer took me to this area in the cemetery where there were basically almost no headstones. It was an open area. And Mayer knew that this area was buried hundreds, if not thousands, of Nephilim. And we were standing there. Before we went there, let me just backtrack. We went to a section in the cemetery with the biggest Gedolei Yisrael. Okay? And we're davening. The biggest of the big. And then we went in the car and drove a little over here, there. And I went to that area, that open area. I had this feeling, I started saying a mizmar, this sensation. We're in a very holy place. There's something very sacred. I didn't have that feeling when I was in front of the Gedolei Yisrael. What's the pshat? I don't know. Maybe it's in my mind. Maybe it is, maybe it's not. But I'm giving you this idea. There are people who are the Nephilim. They didn't do any averos. They didn't do any averos. These are pure, pure neshamas. And we got sidetracked with abortion. Inside these are Nephilim. In the mother's womb is a neshama. It's a neshama. It's murder to take that neshama. It's a neshama. And that neshama is a malach. A malach, two malachim. One malach is teaching the neshama kol atarakula. And the other malach is saying to the neshama, take a shavua. Take a shavua that you will be a tzaddik and you will not be a rasha. And for whatever the reason, their life was terminated at that moment in time. Something went wrong and they died. And they were buried here. These are pure neshamas. And there are hundreds, if not thousands, right there in that location. And standing there, and you start saying Shiram Alois, all of a sudden, there's this, it's an ace, you felt, oh, this is a discovery. It's a mitziah. It's now a ace mitzoy. You discovered something very special. It's an ace rotzoy. It's a mokoyim. It's a mokoyim and a zman, where the gates are open. Take advantage. Im lo yachshav im osai. By a bris milah. Some of the good moyalim. Even the more, you need to be in a more private setting for this. I baruch Hashem, I daven in Chaim Berlin, so baruch Hashem, they have bris milah. It's a big olam, so you can't go make big public announcements, okay? They have basically the same set of moyalim, and they do their routine. It's a big, like Grand Central Station, you just knock them off. But you go to a more private bris milah in someone's home on Shabbos or in a small shul, and you have a moel that's more personable, and he says, Rabbi Isai, we're about to begin the bris milah. The baby's going to cry. When the baby cries, it's an eis rotzayim. It's a zman mesugal. The gates of Shemaim are open. The child is in tsar over the bris milah. These tilois, this tsar goes to Shemaim. Chaperein, join on, go. Your tilois can now be carried on the coattails of the bechiyos of the child. And when you say a nizma of Tehillim, when the baby cries, you feel it. There's a certain sensation that you get, you know, it's now an ace mitzoy. I just won the lottery. I found a mitziah. You'd ever walk around in the street, okay, I'm waiting for the red light to cross Coney Island. Oh, nothing to do for the next 38 seconds. Shram alois. It doesn't work. It's not an ace mitzoy.
So that's what's up in the bill should be
right.
Talking about.
That's what he's saying.
That's the time.
No, when it comes,
you know, when the goyim are not, you know,
what should you daven during that time? Mm. What should you daven? Daven for protection. Don't be naive to think you're going to change the world. So Dov is saying something very profound. Don't be naive to believe you're going to change the world. You're going to negotiate peace with the Palestinians. You're going to negotiate with the Iranians. You can negotiate with the Syrians. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. What you do is you find solutions to protect yourself, to avoid confrontation. Don't think you're going to become buddy-buddy with our enemies. Halacha biyodua Esav soine Yaakov.
Oh, very good. Actually, you're turning the whole chapter from what I understood. Remember, it used to be Mispahol B'Eis Motzai when he said Eis Motzai, all these different times.
This is what you Mispahol for protection. Avoid confrontation.
That the nations should not surge in
right.
hatred.
No. They're going to surge in hatred. That you can't avoid.
Maybe
that,
you Mispahol have done.
No, he's saying no. You should be Mispahol to avoid confrontation.
You should be effective.
Don't be Mispahol to change them. You can't change them. The goyim are shetef mayim rabin. You are mispalel to avoid confrontation.
The question
right.
That's
now,
it.
The question I have on this, from everything that we just said now, why is that the one thing you should be mispalel? Why is he not being mispalel for his health? He says, rock the shetef mayim rabin.
So it's always very profound because this is basically the only thing that you guarantee is going to work. This is something which obviously he's telling you this works. This type of tefillah, you will succeed. If you ask Hashem, I want parnasa, I want a shidduch, I want that. It might very well be the answer is no. And then what have you gained? There's no tefillah that's wasted. That's not a mistake. The tefillah was worth. Is that? But if you want to get a bang for your buck, to avoid confrontation. Is something which works. It works. To go think you're going to go negotiate with Iran, it's not going to work. What do? Come up with a plan just to avoid confrontation, just to stay away, to somehow create a system where there's no conflict. To go, maybe they're going to become your buddy-buddy, and they're all going to become tourists in the country, and then we're going to engage in free trade. Come on, be realistic. They hate us. The hatred is way, way too deep. You're naive to think, oh, I'm going to sit down with the Palestinians and we're going to become buddy buddies. It doesn't work like that. I had the tila in my hand a few weeks, 2 weeks ago. We learned Lag BaOmer. Finally found it. Mamash my hand. The Chazonish composed a beautiful tefillah. It's very short for mothers to recite when they light candles for their children. So what do you think? What do you think the Chazonish would write in the tefillah? That Hashem, please, my child should be the Gadol Hador. My child should be healthy. My child should be parnasa. My child should be happy. I want my child to be happy. Everyone, I'm be happy. Simcha sachayim. My child should get into this yeshiva, go to this camp, this yeshiva. No. Hashem, please, through siyata d'shmaya and hashgacha pratis, he should avoid distractions. All of the distractions in life Bahashkocha Pratis, he should not have a confrontation with that distraction. When a boy comes into yeshiva with the newest glitch, the newest toy, my son that day, he should not feel well. And he should stay home from yeshiva. So he should not be there when the other boy comes and presents him the latest mishugas. And had he been there on that day, he would be so enamored by this new mishugas, the whole year would be down the drain. He would be playing the whole day with this new toy, and he wouldn't spend one moment learning Torah. His tefillah was that the child should avoid distractions. And once the child avoids distractions, it's natural that a child will develop and grow to become a Yorei Shamayim. The Chazon Ish did not compose the tefillah that he should be, that your child should be the Gadol Hadar, your child should live until should live 120 years, should be successful and happy. His tefillah was, Hashem, protect my child, not to be in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Here also to avoid confrontation.
Avoid confrontation.
And then you'll be able to...
Mimela. Hashem did not put us in this world for trouble, to make problems. It's supposed to be Elohim also as Ha'adam Yashar. Hashem made man straight. It's supposed to be very easy. Life is supposed to be very easy. We ruin it. We go off. Oh, let's go on a detour. You know, let's go and have some fun. When I was in fifth grade, I told this video when I was in fifth grade, on Sunday, I was in MTJ, Lower East Side. And we were gonna have in the class probably five kids in the fifth grade. And the yeshiva of Eastern Parkway shut down the year before. It closed down. So MTJ was a gold mine, because they got a whole busload of kids from the yeshiva Eastern Parkway. Most of the children, those are the kids that lived in Brooklyn, in Flatbush. And every single day they bus them, and they had a bus, they had a bus driver, a real cheverman, and he would drive the kids every day from Sunday. For some reason, they only were in class, and Rabbi Frankel, he should be good and well, he's Rabbi Frankel, and he had a temper. And Sunday, every Sunday, the kids came at 10:30. Yeshiva starts at 9 o'clock, and the bus arrives at 10:30 with all the whole bus load of kids. And he said, what is going on here? What's going on over here? So the bus, it broke down every Sunday. I live in Lower East Side. I was in Flatbush for Shabbos. Also, my parents, how are they going to get me to yeshiva? Wonderful, there's a bus that goes from Flatbush on Sunday morning at 8:30, 8:15, and the MTJ was so good. They put me to the bus stop, get on the bus. All the kids, the whole bus, Sunday morning. Okay, Sunday morning, the bus, okay guys, where do you want to go today? Where are we going today on a trip? I was on the bus. Okay, I have a great place. There's a movie set in Queens. You gotta see. He drives us 9 o'clock to the movie set Sunday morning to show us. We all get off the bus and he shows us the movie set. Touch the wall. It looks like a brick wall. It's plastic. It was fascinating. All right, get back on the bus, go back to yeshiva. No one say a word. No one here tell. Every Sunday, the bus driver took the kids on a trip. He took them on a detour. What, free? Free. The bus driver was a real acherman. He took the kids every Sunday on a trip. And how come every Sunday? Oh, you know, Sunday there was traffic. The bus broke down. No one knew the secret. What was really going on Sunday mornings? Going on trips, taking the kids on trips every Sunday morning.
Until you told them.
On his, no, I told no one. No one knows until now. We all went on trips. It was unbelievable. All the trouble starts when you get off on the exit. When you get off on the wrong exit, that's where all the trouble starts. Elohim osa es ha'adam yashar ve'heim bikshu chishmah ve'adam. You don't need to be misspelled to become the Gadol Hadar. Whatever is meant to be will be. Just don't get distracted. Keep your eye on the ball. That is what David says in this pasuk. Lezois, for this, remember what the Ikar Tefillah is. A person comes into this world with mazel, with siyata d'shmaya. You'll get whatever is meant for you. Just don't get off on the wrong exit. Don't avoid confrontation. because you're going to lose. These powers that are out there are so nasty and they're so mighty. Don't be naive to think you're going to negotiate with them. The goyim are called the Shetef Mayim Rabin. They'll destroy you. Avoid them. Be L'zois Yispalel, a love lo yagiyu. When should I daven this? You need Siyato Deshmaya. Because when you daven Stam on a regular day, it's not going to work necessarily. You need to find a Mitziah. When you come across an Eis Mitzoy, and you're going to chaperayim is something that's guaranteed to work. It's very, very deep. All right, now let's go look at
this. So we should really be applying this in a general way, not only like Rashi says to you.
Well, we do.
It's any shake of my mind, any distraction.
Yes.
Right. Any.
Yes.
We should never be being misfiled for something.
No, not never. You can't say that's not.
Like money and health. No. It shouldn't come to me this problem.
Right. We say it also, lowly day misoyoin, the lowly day vizoin. Why? Adarab, if I have a misoyoin, if Hashem puts me in a difficult and I persevere, can you imagine the reward? The reward? I'll be like Avraham Avinu. The ten nisyonos. Sorry to tell you, buddy, you're not Avraham Avinu.
It's
not going to work. If Hashem wants to test you, don't worry, he'll test you. He'll test you. He'll test you. But don't be mispalel
to have
tests. Low is better off lowly day nisayon. Because if I'm going to have a nisayon, you know what's going to happen? I will come lidei bizayon. Better I should not have the nisayon, so I should not have the bizayon. Don't worry, there are plenty of nisayonis you'll have in life without asking for them. Now, in this week's parash also, this week's parash is saying Moshe, Chalish, he wants to go through the land of Edom. Moshe negotiates. Is there someone, is there a better negotiator than Moshe Rabbeinu? Who better? Moshe negotiated the Klal Yisrael. He was the lawyer. Moshe was a lawyer. When Klal Yisrael worshipped the Egel, who was there? What? Who's the backup? No, but originally when Klal Yisrael sinned, who was the lawyer? Who was our lawyer at the Egel? Moshe was the lawyer. Moshe was the defense lawyer. Miraglin, who was the lawyer? Moshe. Moshe's the lawyer. There's no one better than Moshe Rabbeinu. And yet he failed to negotiate with Edom. A little favor here. Let us just walk through your land. We'll pay you. And they came out with a ritzicha. Don't you dare. Pen bacheref etzei ilach. Are you talking the greatest negotiator in the world couldn't pull off a little deal like this? Just some passage rights to get through the land? No, because when you're dealing with these people, never forget, they are Shetef Mayim Rabin. You're not going to win. You're not going to win with an enemy. An enemy is an enemy. All right, let's go further. Let's go look at the Shas. Now we go to another very big topic. This is popular. This pasuk is one of the most popular victims of Drush. At a Sheva Berochis. Okay, so let's see on page 276 on the very bottom. Al Zois Yisvalol Kol Chassid Le'elecha Le'es Mitzoy. Totally off the beaten track. Not the Pshanim. Now we're going into the Gemara. The Gemara is Drush, right? Didn't we say that? The Gemara tells you the Drush. Omar Rebbe Chanina, on the bottom again. Garab is 276 on the bottom. Omar Rebbe Chanina, Le'es Mitzoy. Zo Isha. The editor added in the word Toiva, a good wife. Zo isha toiva, shenemar motza isha motza toiv. Because it says in Koheles, I'm sorry, Mishle, it says in Mishle, so it says in Mishle, motza isha motza toiv. The word motza is used in association with a wife. It's a mitziah. It's a mitziah. It's a shocking thing to call it a mitziah because the pasuk says, because the Chazal elsewhere explicitly said that Isha is an Aveda. An Aveda, it's Achas Mitzal Oisav. Hashem made Chava from the bone, from the rib, from the lung, whatever it was, from Adam Arishain. So when man finds his Zivuk, he's just finding what rightfully belongs to him. And the same way that is true with regard to Adam Harishain, Hashem made Chava out of the body of Adam, Likewise, every single person in the spiritual sense, when he finds his zivuk, it's just achas nitzalosav. He's finding what was originally his. That's called an aveda. Person comes into this world, that rib got lost somewhere else in another community, or maybe she lives next door to you. Who knows where she is? And now, when you finally meet up and you decide to get married, it is just you. It is hashavas aveda. Every zivuk is hashavas aveda. That's all it is. And yet this pasuk says, no, it's not. It's a mitzia. It's a mitzia. It's like you won the lottery. You go walk down the street, look at this. A lot of money. A lot of money. It's a mitzia. So matzah isha matzah taif. B'marava. So therefore, the more there is, what is the answer to the contrary? I don't know. We're not now going to focus on the answer, but over here, this Maimon Chazal says that since with Matzah Mishlei is associated with an Isha, and in this pasuk it says Le'es Mitzoy, so it's telling you that in order to get married, that the only way a person will find the Zivuk, the only way, but the technique, a time honored proven technique in finding a Zivuk is Tefillah. Is the Mispalo. When is the only time in the liturgy when you pray for a Shuch? The only time in the Nusach HaTzidah where you explicitly, we're not going to go through this whole shir again, as there's merumas all over the tefillah, a tefillah for a Shuch. The most basic is this whole bracha, Re'ei no ve'on yeinu. The entire bracha in Shemona Esrei is all about a zivuk, because as we say in the Haggadah, what do we say in the Haggadah? Vayar es on yenu, zu perishas derech eretz. That means man and woman were separated. So you see from the Haggadah, on yenu is a reference to separation of man and woman. So when you daven Shemona Esrei three times a day, re'eino ve'on yenu, there are boys and girls that are separated who need to get together. So that basically you have an entire bracha in Shemona Esrei that is really openly referring to shiduchim v'zivugim. But there's another place where you say really explicitly, and that is a bris mila. Kishem shnichnas lebris, ken yikonis l'toira u'lechupa u'lemaisim toivim. Okay, you say by a boy immediately. Where do you say by a girl? You don't have to. Once you say for the boy, chuppah, so every boy needs a girl. So at a bris, you have to be, everything go to a bris. It's critical. It's critical to daven with kavanah. You may be davening for your own daughter or your granddaughter. You never know. Kashem shnichnas lebris, can you call this l'toru l'chuppah? An open, explicit request from the Ribbono Shel Olam, which cannot be interpreted any other way than a bakasha for a shidduch. It's never too early to daven for a shidduch. Even when the baby is born, eight days, right away, you're ready to himself for a shidduch. Matzah isha, matzah b'marava, kinasa inish idisa, in eretz yisa, when a person got married, amri lehach, they would ask him. Now, this is not a nice thing to do. I never understood this. The guy gets married, finally, you know, the Sheva brachas are over, and after Sheva brachas are over, he comes back to Koila. Oh, you're married. So now tell me, are you happy? Are you happy?
What's up? You pray for, by the way, you do, I mean, by a girl you don't have a bris, but by the
Mishaberach.
Yeah. It says
L'chupa. It says L'chupa, okay, by the Mishaberach. The Mishaberach, you say, what is the Nusach? Kishem, L'kein Yikonis, L'kein Yikonis, L'toyro l'chubba l'maisim toyro. You have to say, some say by a girl more, but it says that l'toyro u'leben toyro. She should marry a ben toyro. U'leben toyro. Okay.
That's why
we
have a lot of money.
Like you say, does this fella, does he have a lot of yirah shemayim?
All right, I was at a notebook for a well-known rabbi. I mean, there were thugs in the ladies section, but he said, he was talking about his daughter. And he said, you worry, and this was at the Sheva Brachas, you wonder where the target will want him, you know, you bring up the kids, and you wonder who she's going to marry, and, you know, you hope that she'll get married, and all these things. It just goes to show you every dog has its day.
Oh, my God.
And
every
I heard
dog has its
thought. Day. I said to my mother afterward, what was the thought? She said, the college mother fell off the chair.
Every pot has its cover. B'madova, b'eretz Yisrael, ki nasiv in idisa amalei hachi, matzah maitzi, matzah d'chsiv, matzah isha, matzah taif. The yofek rotzai me Hashem, the word yofek, you know, you write this nusach in the Tanoim. Yala v'yatz mach gan rotuv, the yofek rotzai me Hashem atoif. Okay, this is the first thing you do in the shirach. You actually write this nusach, and this is the opening line in the Tanoim. The Tanoim of you have this exact pasuk.
Yeah. And the closing line also.
The closing, you read it twice. Moitze, d'chsev u'motze, ani mar mimoves, more bitter than death, es ho isha. Okay, so I'm not, there's a lot of Jewish, we're not going to go over the Jewish now. Or what the difference between Suki, Rabbi Nosson, Omer Rabbi Nosson says, le'es mitzo zu toiru. No, the word mitzoi is a code word for Torah, shenemar, ki motzi'i, someone who finds me, motzo chayim. And this pasuk initially is said in reference to the Torah. So since we use this word, it's like a word association. Because this word is said in reference to Torah, it means a person should be mispalel for success in acquiring Torah knowledge. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, on the next page, page 278, Omar, le'es mitzoy zoy misa. Now he adds, the editor adds in the word kalo. A person should, he needs to pray. It's a very frightening concept. A person his whole life should pray that his end, his departure, should be easy. It should not come smooth. It should not come with Yisur and Rahman al-Islam. Modern medicine has made that very, very possible, where it's not so easy to get out of here. It's not so easy to leave this world. Used to be, person, Rahman was going to get sick. I think the Gemara has a whole discussion of all the different types of death. And the Gemara says the ideal death is 3 days. It's the Gemara. 3 days. A person gets ill and he realizes that his end is near, and he is declined from a state of health until his departure is 3 days. 72 hours, he can put his house in order and he can prepare mentally. More than that is torture. More than that is, you know, if you're waiting for a bus, you're waiting for a train, when is the bus going to come already? It's hot, it's cold. You go on the subway, you go, you look over onto the side, where's the train already? It's already no good. And that frustration of lingering, nishtahi, nishtaher, damages a person. And we don't know what this means. This is something which is totally beyond us, is that there is this, it's clear in Chazal, a person's frame of mind when he leaves this world is critical. Why? What difference does it make? I don't know, no clue. But Chazal, over and over, when a person, that moment of departure, he should be in a good frame of mind. A healthy, religious frame of mind. And if a person is suffering with yisurin that he cannot bear, it affects him. He's frustrated, and he looks back at his life with a different perspective, and that's not good. And if a person needs to misspell that his departure should be in peace, which the Gemara says is 3 days. Shenemar, look, I always think about the people in the World Trade Center, right? In 9/11, there were people that were literally vaporized. Could you imagine? I mean, how in the world? I have someone I know, I daven with. I don't know if he moved away actually, but he comes in a lot. He's in construction. He's in construction, really more in demolition. So we were talking about a conversation of the World Trade Center. I said, you're in construction, architecture. How in the world does an airplane destroy the World Trade Center? How can it really be that an airplane can crash in? So he says, what destroyed, he says to me, you have no clue to the koyach of jet fuel. Right. The jet fuel is so, I mean, how do these planes fly in the air? The amount of force that is produced through jet fuel is beyond you can imagine. And when that is ignited and it spills all over steel, the steel just melts away into nothing. We're brought down, he says, I don't know if it's true, now this is what he told me. We're brought down the Twin Towers, yeah, they have all these models and this club, blah, 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 and the whole story. But what was the spark? Jet fuel. It wasn't the force of the plane coming into the building. It wasn't the fire. It is the koyach of jet fuel that is just beyond belief what it can do to steal and create such a situation. So the people there, the jet fuel caused many people to basically be vaporized. Rahmanul Islam. And there's nothing left from them.
They jumped out of the windows.
Besides that. And also the people they show in the videos, people in the vicinity of where the jet fuel, they show them the sweat. Can't even appreciate, they were tortured. The people don't talk about this. The people of 9/11, some of them died just from the building falling down, the crushing impact of Nisan Hashana. And some of them, they were burnt with such a horrific tsar. And others, the burning was so great, there's nothing left of them. Nothing. Completely vaporized. Rahman al-Utslan. So when it says a chazal like this, when a person, you hear these stories, people, they're on ships and the ship sinks, there's no kavura. They're buried in the middle of the ocean, the Atlantic Ocean. People in World War II, they were ships were shrunk. Where are the bodies? People from the Titanic. What happened to them? They're trapped in the boat, all the way down the bottom. They didn't even know where the Titanic was until recently. Didn't find it until, 10, 15 years ago, they discovered where it was. It's frightening beyond belief. And Chazal were way ahead of their time, and they said, L'zois yisparu kol chosid l'eis. So go to a cemetery, and you see people resting in peace. It's a tremendous bracha. These people were zoicha to a kavura. It's tremendous bracha. And to die in a state of peace, it's mekel bracha. And Chazal, for all the things that this can possibly mean, don't take anything for granted. The basics. Le'es mitzo means amisa kalo. How do you know? Because we have a pasuk in Tehillim that associates the word mitzo with the word death. La'moves totzo'os. The finding of death. The finding of death. Tayinam yachi, there's a bria, shocking thing, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in this world 903. What's this number, 900? I have no idea the significance of this number. Tishameos 903, the gematria of the word toitzois, the gematria hachihavu. Kosha v'kulon askira. The worst type of death is askira. Who got askira? The 24,000 Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. They died through Misas Askira. What is Askira? Do we even know what it is? They say it's some type of, they say in English, etheria, with it, you can't breathe.
Choking,
something with this inflammation of the throat. Nicha Shekul Nishika, this week's parasha. Vatam, who died this week's parasha? Moshe Al Pi Hashem. Three people died Al Misas Nishika. Three people, Moshe Al Pi Hashem, Aaron Al Pi Hashem, Miriam, it does not say Al Pi Hashem. Rashi in this week's parasha says it's not Derech Eretz to say but Hashem, that Hashem kissed Miriam. That's a very powerful Libud Musa about Sneez. She died. It does. She did die. But yet Rashi says it's not covered Shalmaila to say that Hashem kissed the woman. Okay, that's a lot of Musa. A lot of Musa right then and there. Yaakovin Vayishak Yaakov L'Rochel. It says explicitly in the Torah, Vayishak Yaakov L'Rochel. He kissed her when he first met her. But still, by Hashem, it's not by Kovadik for Hashem to say Al Pi Hashem. Al Pi Hashem means that he kissed Misnashika. Ask her, what is ask her? Ask her, Damir, Kichizra, in like a thorn, Bigvava, the Amra, in a clump of wool. De la'achoyre Noshra, when a person pulls it outwards, it's very painful. You never really get out. You take a thorn, you pull it out, you're gonna pull with it some of the wool. You're not gonna be able to it's not gonna be a civil separation. It's an ugly, frustrating separation. You pull out that thorn, it's gonna pull out with it a little bit of wool, the wool's gonna be damaged. Vigidam song say they say kipi ture bifi veshat. What does that mean? A rope, b'soich nekev tzar. You have a thick rope in a hole, and you gotta pull the rope through the loop. It does not go easy. Nishika damya ki mishchal b'nisa michalba, a hair in a glass of milk. I never understood this, what this means exactly. You have a hair in milk. Why milk? Why milk from all things? And you pull the hair out, it just comes right out. There's something much deeper in this, I don't know what it means. Mishika sa'aram b'michalav, Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi says, le'es mishkei, that's death. Another shot, Rabbi Yochanan says, le'es mishkei, zu kivur is burial. Okay, so we already discussed the burial. Om Rabbi Chanina makra, ha'asamechem, elei gil, those who rejoice upon the moment, yosisu, those who rejoice, elei gil, yosisu ki yim tzu kover. Okay, this refers to rejoicing over an exciting event. They will find a grave. It's a great nachas that they should be buried. For some reason, we don't do this so much, but the Hasidim, the very Makbid, a burial should be ASAP at any cost. No delay whatsoever. Shulchan Aruch, you're not even bury someone on Yom Tov. The first day Yom Tov, you can bury it through a goy. On the second day Yom Tov, in the Shaking Halacha, that a Jew himself is allowed to bury the dead on the second day of Yom Tov, Yom Tov Shen Shul Golios. Chazal never enacted the Issur Melacha for the second day of Yom Tov with regard to burying the dead. Because why? So Parshat Pshat, because Nivul Hametz, the body will decompose. But on another level, it's because the Tsar of the dead, we have no idea what this means, that the neshama, until the neshama is buried, is not at peace. Rest in peace. There's a reason why they say rest in peace. Because until the neshama is put into the ground, the neshama is not at peace. Until, well, the neshama that is enveloped in the guf, until the guf, whatever this means. Well, I don't know what this means, whatever this means.
Doesn't the neshama leave?
Listen, I don't know anything about this. I'm not going to make believe I know how these things work. The neshama, when a person dies, whatever happens, happens. I don't know what this means.
The neshama is eternal.
Don't say, as crucial as you, thank you. Don't say rest in peace. Because we, our neshama is always on the
mind. Of course. But until the neshama, until the body is buried, the neshama has agmas nefesh. The neshama is not able to go to its destination until the body is in the ground. Why is that so? I don't know what this. No one knows what this means. This is spiritual concepts. What this means, and that some learn explain that. That's why the Egyptians, the pharaohs, they were embalmed. Why did they do this? Why? Because they knew they're going to Gehenna. And in order not to go to Gehenna, we rather stay here in this world. And they embalmed their body, which basically prevented the decomposition of their guf, because the neshama cannot enter into its eternal resting until the body decomposes. So if the person knows he's not going to a good place, so you know what? Let's stay here. This is what they say about the Egyptians, that they would, it was the Ervas Haaretz. Let's finish up very late. A person prayed rachm until the very last shovel, until they put into the last shovel that goes into the grave. Okay, that when you need to go to the Beis HaKisei, it should be available. Otherwise, a person is an enormous tsar. The last pshat, marzutra, adifa mikulu, that's the best pshat. The Beis HaKisei, today we're zoich in America, that this the Chazal gave an incredible koyach to this tila. This is what you should be mispalo for. That you should have a Beis HaKisei mitzvah. When you need a Beis HaKisei, it should be available. Not that long ago, when a person needed to go to the Beis HaKisei, go to an outhouse. And you have to go to the Beis HaKisei in the middle of the night, 3 o'clock in the morning, it's freezing cold. You have to get dressed and go walk out into a dangerous place to go to the Beis HaKisei. And they're mishugoyim wanting to kill you, in the Beis HaKisei. It's outdoors. Today, one of the greatest blessings of the modern world is indoor plumbing. Beis Akisei. It's not to be believed.
Kings and princes didn't have that.
Then what the average person has today, an average person, a homeless person today, you can go to a public bathroom, has more luxury than the greatest.
The
greatest, yeah, the great Aliyah. So this is an incredible blessing. We have over here, we have a major machlokes with Shem. What exactly is this pasuk referring to? Does refer to shiduchim? Does refer to the moment, the way a person leaves this world, his transition? Does refer to burial? Does refer to the Beis HaKisei? And I missed the one in the middle. I wish there was one more. Le'es Mitzoy. There was one more that I left out. I'm sorry?
903.
Wait. That time we said that the different types of death. Let me just turn back the page. I'm all mixed up over here. The first one was Shaduchim. Tyra. Okay, five things that a person should espouse for. Le'zoyz. Yispalil kochas leis mitzvay. A shidduch, Torah, how a person dies. Burial and a beis akisei. I told you once a joke that it was in the shul, the toilet was stuffed, and it was a big, big problem. It was the only toilet, and the rabbi was very worried. You're having a big problem. So he didn't know where the plunger was. So I found the plunger. And I came in and I said to the rabbi, Zo plunger. No one's here laughing. Okay, not a good joke. Take a short break, a very short break, and then we will resume with the Shalom Pirate.